Just take your Bibles and turn in them with me, first to the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 2, beginning at verse 31. It's found on page 937 in the Pew Bibles. Daniel 2, beginning at verse 31. And after that reading, we'll turn to Matthew chapter 4 as we continue our series through that gospel account. Daniel 2. Beginning at verse 31, people of God, hear now the very words of God. You saw, O king, and behold, a great image. This image, mighty and of exceeding brightness, stood before you, and its appearance was frightening. The head of this image was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its middle and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. As you looked, a stone was cut out by no human hand, and it struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold all together were broken in pieces and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, so that not a trace of them could be found. But the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream. Now we will tell the king its interpretation. You, O king, the King of Kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power, and the might, and the glory, and into whose hand he has given wherever they dwell the children of man, the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heavens, making you rule over them all, you are the head of gold. Another kingdom inferior to you shall arise after you, and yet a third kingdom of bronze which shall rule over all the earth. And there shall be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, because iron breaks to pieces and shatters all things. And like iron that crushes, it shall break and crush all these. And as you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, it shall be a divided kingdom. But some of the firmness of iron shall be in it, just as you saw iron mixed with the soft clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly iron and partly clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly brittle. As you saw the iron mixed with soft clay, so they will mix with one another in marriage. But they will not hold together, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. Nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever, just as you saw that a stone was cut from a mountain by no human hand, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. A great God has made known to the king what shall be after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation sure. Now let us turn to the gospel account of Matthew. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew 4, beginning at verse 12. It's found on page 1028. We'll read through the end of this chapter. Our focus will be verses 23 through 25. We'll begin reading, though, at verse 12. Speaking of Jesus. Now when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. For those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. As far as the reading of the Word of God. A congregation, we hear of propaganda, spin, fake news. These are out there during a war, certainly, but even during an election cycle. We see it around us, we hear it, but when something real is amazing, word does spread. Reality spreads. No matter what propaganda might say otherwise. And people who are in need respond. That doesn't mean everyone is on board or even gets exactly what's going on or benefits from it, but there's a stir, and that's how it was at this time as Jesus began openly his ministry in earnest. We saw that last time. He began in earnest his earthly ministry. Now, in the passage we read this week, Matthew summarizes what Jesus will do over the next number of chapters. He will teach, he will preach, he will heal. As well as the result of that work, many will follow Jesus. And all this is evidence, as I proclaim to you this morning, that God's kingdom comes through Jesus' work. God's kingdom comes through Jesus' work. And first, we want to consider from the first part of verse 23, this kingdom, the coming of it is heralded and explained. Heralded and explained, proclaimed and taught. First part of verse 23, and he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. As Jesus began his ministry in earnest, he preached, he proclaimed the same message John the Baptist did. In verse 17, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven, it is near. And Jesus continued to herald the coming of that kingdom. What we read in Daniel is being fulfilled. That rock hewn not by human hands is coming down. It's about to smash to the kingdoms of man. Now, while it appears that John the Baptist, that he stayed around the Jordan River, Jesus did this throughout Galilee. We read it. He went throughout all Galilee. And later it says even about great crowds following from Galilee into Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea. Even his fame spread throughout all Syria. Now, although Capernaum was his home, Jesus didn't stay there. The proclamation of the coming of the kingdom of heaven is not something that can be bottled up. Here is the hope of Israel. Here is salvation God's people have been longing for thousands of years, ever since God made that promise shortly after the fall of Adam and Eve. Remain in one city, remain in one town? No, not with this message, not with this reality. So with us, congregation, God has brought the kingdom of heaven. By God's grace and God's work, you have been brought into that kingdom through faith in Jesus. You have been saved from your sins by Christ's death on the cross. You have been granted eternal life by his resurrection from the dead. All this has been brought to you personally by the Spirit. You have been transferred out of darkness into God's light, reconciled to God. You have him as your father through faith in Jesus. This reality is yours. Jesus has brought it to you. And you and I must not keep this bottled up. We must not keep it locked away in some private area of our lives, afraid to tell others of the kingdom and its king, timid that our neighbors might find out we are Christians, might ask us about Christianity. What would I say then? What would you say, brothers and sisters, if you are asked? You might be asked coming up in the next few months who you're going to vote for. Someone might knock on your door even wanting you to vote for a particular person. Maybe you're ready to engage. Are you ready to talk about Jesus? Oh, I don't know what to say, maybe you're thinking. Maybe you worry. Point them to Jesus. We said earlier, earlier occasion, a wonderful way is to tell them the Apostles' Creed, not just by rote, but you've got it right here. You've got it here. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the kingdom of heaven. You don't have to tell them about yourself. You don't have to tell them about your testimony and focus on you. Tell them about Jesus and the kingdom he has brought, certainly how that affects you. But focus on Jesus. Be eager, willing to talk about the kingdom of heaven. That doesn't mean you talk only about spiritual things. But what are you known for at the, well, times past, at the water fountain or at the restaurant, wherever you gather and talk to others? Are you known about talking about the concerns of this life or of the kingdom of heaven and how that relates to this life and the life to come? Parents, as you raise your children, train them in what they should know to live as a good citizen on this earth. Spend time educating them or having them educated, learning a trade, but especially train them in the kingdom of heaven, what it means to be a citizen in that kingdom, and how that works into their education, into their job, into all of life, how that kingdom fills all. Jesus came heralding the kingdom, going throughout Galilee. When we think of that in our free time, we probably go through more of an area than just Galilee. We probably, ordinarily, come in contact with more people course of our life, or communication. Let us herald the kingdom. Now, there is more to this calling than simply heralding it. But that at least is included. It's what Jesus did. It's what we as followers of Jesus are also to do. But there's something more. Not only did he proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, but he also was teaching in their synagogue. So proclaiming, heralding, teaching, explaining. Those are important. Now, from what we can gather, even as Jesus' own disciples asked him in Acts chapter 1, the question they asked Jesus about his restoring the kingdom to Israel, just before Jesus ascended into heaven, you remember that, young people? Many Jews who lived at this time thought of the kingdom of heaven as something different than what it really is, than reality. Now, they knew Daniel's prophecy that we read this morning. They knew other prophecies. But from it appears, from what we can understand, they thought the kingdom of heaven was like the kingdom of Israel under David and Solomon. They thought that the kingdom God would establish on earth would be like those kingdoms. It would be Jewish, though, not Babylonian, not of the Medes and Persians, not Egyptian. It would be Jewish. It would spread over the entire earth, and it wouldn't end. They read the Old Testament prophecies through the lens of the earthly realities that they experienced, the Old Covenant priesthood and sacrifices, the kingdom of Israel. They did not understand that God intended the Old Covenant and the kingdom of Israel to be pointers, pictures of the kingdom of heaven, teaching aids rather than the reality. They thought the kingdom of heaven would be an extension of those earthly ceremonies and borders and earthly realities. Now let us be clear, there's only one covenant of grace. The reality of the kingdom of heaven was present in seed form in the old covenant, but just as a seed differs greatly from the plant, so the reality of the kingdom of heaven in the new covenant is different from the old covenant, what the saints expected. It is as though the Jews thought the kingdom of heaven would be a bigger, greater seed. They didn't grasp that it would be a plant. Different, yet connected, as a plant differs from the seed. What was present as seed in the old comes to maturity in the new. The Jews did not grasp that, though. And so it's necessary for Jesus to go throughout all Galilee and teach concerning the kingdom of heaven. There's a twofold problem Jesus had to counter, twofold lack Jesus countered with that teaching. First, the Jews had to be taught about the heavenly reality of the kingdom of heaven, so they would not think of it as an earthly kingdom. This was something new. Jesus had to teach them of this plant, so they wouldn't think of it as a seed. But the second problem was the teaching the Jews received from the Pharisees and Sadducees, that was wrong. the Jewish leaders had twisted and perverted the truth that was present in the Old Covenant. So not only then did Jesus need to instruct them about the correct nature of the kingdom of heaven, but he had to correct the misunderstanding and the wrong teaching of the Jewish leaders. With all this, Jesus teaching and heralding the kingdom is coming through Jesus' work. Jesus teaches about that kingdom. Now the next few chapters, Lord willing, will come to the Sermon on the Mount, as well as many parables they teach concerning this kingdom of heaven. And we today still come back to these teachings to find out what is the kingdom of heaven like. Now, why is it necessary to proclaim, to herald, and to teach about the kingdom of heaven as it comes? Why go through all this trouble? Why didn't Jesus go right from his baptism to the cross? Why this period of about 3 years where he preached, where he taught? Of course, God could have done it that way. But from this time of preaching and teaching, we are instructed in the coming of the kingdom of heaven. That it's not like the coming of the kingdoms of this earth. It is not a show of earthly might or power, earthly regulations and red tape of bureaucracy. Now, certainly the kingdom of heaven comes apart from our work. It's the work of the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But if we are to benefit from the coming of this kingdom of heaven, the Spirit must work faith within our hearts. And faith requires knowledge. Knowledge and conviction, trust. You cannot trust Jesus and enter the kingdom of heaven if you don't know him. If you don't know who he is, what he's done. That it's sin he's overcome, that he has come to reconcile sinners to the holy God. Children, young people, that's one reason why we have Sunday school and catechism. Yes, your parents take you here and you hear the teaching of the kingdom of heaven, but we want it so filled that you have this aspect and this part, and look here in the Bible what God teaches here, so you learn more and more about this wonderful, wonderful kingdom. And we work it into all parts of education too. Christian day school and homeschool. Or it's not just for Sunday, but in all of life, this kingdom fills. And here's how. Here's what it looks like to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven here on Tuesday and on Thursday night and Saturday morning. It's part of why you're being instructed. It's not just so you can get a good job or so you can know some facts or be real spiritual. It's so you would know about this kingdom and know how you are to live in it, as a citizen of it. You've got an important part in this kingdom. What a blessing. We have another year of learning, another year of instruction. Praise God. Praise God for raising up teachers to instruct the youth. And parents, know that you are being prayed for as you seek to instruct your children. We need to know about this kingdom so we can trust this king and live how we ought to by his grace, the power of his Spirit. God's kingdom comes through Jesus' work. It's coming as heralded. It's explained. But there's more to this coming as we move to in our second point. It's coming as demonstrated in power. For that, we see the rest of verse 23, verse 24. Now, as with his statement of Jesus going through Galilee, teaching and preaching, so about the miracles that Jesus performs, Matthew is giving a summary statement of what he will document in the coming chapters. Miracles. Miracles that demonstrate God's kingdom comes through Jesus' work. Here are these verses. So he came proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria. And they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Now, unless someone's talk can be backed up with action, with power, talk is cheap. How much easier to talk about something, talk about doing something, than doing it. The miracles Jesus performed are the result of power, the outworking evidence. God is at work. Here is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus teaches about the spiritual reality of the kingdom of heaven. He backs it up with spiritual power of changing people's earthly realities and healing them. And that's part of what the kingdom of heaven involves, healing. wholeness. Jesus was sent into the world to save the world. Jesus came to take upon himself our infirmities, to carry our diseases, as the prophet Isaiah said. Our salvation is focused and founded on the forgiveness of sins. But because sins are forgiven, because we're accounted righteous by God, the effects of sin too must be undone. That shows forth in Jesus' ministry. Part of the blessedness of the kingdom of heaven is the wholeness that is ours. Because God reigns as our king, and he reigns over all, not just spiritual matters, all matters. All the sicknesses and diseases and troubles of this world are a result of sin. Before Adam first sinned against God, children, you remember, we saw it in our Genesis series, there were no sicknesses, there were no diseases or pains, no oppression by demons, no epilepsy, no paralysis. And in the new heavens and new earth to come, all tears will be wiped away. There will be no more death. All things will be made new. This life is a veil of tears. And hasn't that been brought home to us, especially in this year? Still being brought home to us? All our physical and emotional infirmities are part of that sorrow, that hardship, that trial. And all those are a result of sin. Perhaps one's individual sins, but certainly Adam's first sin. For through Adam's first sin, sin entered into the world, and through sin, death entered the world. Now, with Jesus proclaiming the kingdom of heaven is near, with his teaching about the glories of that kingdom, it is fitting he should demonstrate the reality and power of that kingdom with healing. Now, notice that Matthew draws our attention to the great power Jesus has. Matthew lists a number of ailments there. And each type of those Jesus healed. There is nothing beyond his power. Now we think of, you know, if we have something wrong with your computer, you might take it somewhere to get fixed. If you have something wrong with your truck, you take it somewhere else to be fixed. If you don't know something about math, you go to a math teacher. If you want a ditch dug, you go to you go to different persons for different things. Jesus healed everything. Everything. You need a specialist. He is the healer. He's God. Here's proof to Satan that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus cast Satan out and the demons out. There is nothing beyond Jesus' power. So let no one doubt then that the kingdom of heaven has come in the work of Jesus. The miracles are proof of it. But then some might say, well, shouldn't we expect miracles today? If the kingdom of heaven is still with us, if the kingdom is still expanding across the globe to its very ends, should there not be miracles giving proof? Should we not have a part, if you look in our bulletin, shouldn't we have a part in our liturgy? Miracle time. Here's a time for miracles. Now, some might reason that way, but consider, these miracles certify that Christ is bringing the kingdom. Miracles testify that in this one, this person is the power of the kingdom. Jesus is God himself, bringing the realities of the kingdom of heaven into our lives. The miracles testify to him. They're witnesses. We have this testimony recorded in the scriptures. In God's very word, we have no further need of miracles then. God's word records the evidence. God's word records the proof that Christ is the Messiah. The kingdom of heaven has come. What good would further miracles do then? Well, some may say, well, they'd prove to me that here's power, that Christianity is real, that you, preacher, are a true preacher of the gospel, that the kingdom of heaven is being opened and closed by your ministry. But why do we need proof like that? We go back to the Word. It always goes back to the Word of God. Again, we stand on the Bible. Here is the proof. And does the preaching, does the teaching, does that accord with what is in the Bible? That's what we need. So long as the doctrine is the same as Christ's doctrine, what he heralded, what he taught, as the apostles' doctrine, there is no need of further miracles. Because nothing has changed about Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same miracles that certified Christ's identity, Christ's mission, they certify the true churches today, so long as those churches remain in Christ's doctrine and continue to proclaim what Jesus proclaimed, teach what Jesus taught. That's why miracles have ceased to be a proof of the gospel. There's no more need of them on a regular basis. Does that mean God never works a miracle? Oh, no, we're not saying that. God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, to whomever he wants. But there is no further need of miracles for the true church. For the true church preaches and teaches what Jesus and the apostles did. And so don't look to other religions or some spiritual guru or to science and medicine and put your trust there for something that's missing in Christianity. Say, well, I tried Jesus, but it didn't heal me of my cancer. I tried Jesus, but it didn't take care of this or that. Don't go to those other things and put your faith in them. Hold fast to Jesus always. And remain part of a church, a true church, that preaches Christ. All this won't satisfy those of the earth who want to see something with their earthly eyes. But you know what? We didn't read it this morning, but Jesus taught, if someone does not believe based on God's word, they still will not believe, even if someone should rise from the dead. Talk about a miracle. Salvation is not in man's ability. Something natural man will grasp if only he's given the opportunity, if only he's given a reason, if only you would take care of this objection, then I'll believe. No, natural man hates God. Unless God changes our hearts, we will not receive, we will not repent and believe, no matter what we see with our earthly eyes. But once the Holy Spirit changes our heart, we do believe based on God's word. Again, that's why we stand on the Bible, why we collect offerings to send for missions, to spread it abroad, to bring the word. Jesus refused to prove to Satan his identity based on Satan's demands. Jesus refused to prove to the Jews his identity based on their demands. We'll read of that later, Lord willing. And so today, Jesus refuses to prove the identity of the true church based on the demands of an unbelieving world. Listen to what he says. But to those whose hearts God has changed, brothers and sisters, this testimony is received as true. The kingdom of heaven has come. We read in the Bible the miracles. The Holy Spirit opens our heart to understand, to accept, to believe. This is a work of God. Salvation is all a work of God. Whether that salvation includes physical healing now or not. So I ask you, has God worked this change within your heart? Has God changed you? Are you waiting to see something fantastic with your earthly eyes before you will step out in faith? Are you waiting for God to work some mighty work in your life before you will believe? Are you waiting for God to remove your sickness, remove your trial, remove your sorrow, or else I'll stop going to church, I'll stop believing. What good has it done me? Are you demanding that God prove himself to you in your way before you will believe, before you will do this or that, before you confess God as your heavenly Father? Before you strive to live as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Don't do that. Don't demand that of Jesus. That's sin. Believe his word. Jesus is the Messiah. Power of the kingdom of heaven is present in him, as shown he could perform every type of miracle. He is the Christ. 2,000 years ago, today, forever. Do not be unbelieving, but by God's grace, always be believing. Performing miracles is a great evidence of the presence of the kingdom of heaven, the coming of this kingdom. Why aren't Christians healed of their infirmities today? Maybe you wonder that. Maybe in pain and grief you cry out, what about me? Help me, Jesus. You helped then, help me. Is it that my faith is too weak? We live by faith, not by sight. We must believe the message that the kingdom of heaven has come with Christ. And that as citizens of this kingdom, because of Christ, we have all our sins forgiven. We can't sense that, can we? The most important thing, we can't sense that our sins are forgiven. There's no change suddenly that we have more energy all of a sudden. We can't sense that. We live by faith. But a time is coming when God will send Jesus back to this earth. And then our faith shall become sight. And all the effects of sin will be done away with when the knowledge of the glory of God covers the earth as the waters cover the sea. When our bodies are raised from the dead. Imperishable. Patiently wait for that day, brothers and sisters. Wait until that day for wholeness. You won't be disappointed because Christ brings the kingdom. And when he comes a second time, that kingdom will come in its fullness. This kingdom does come through Jesus' work. Its coming is demonstrated in power. Then we move to in our third point that this kingdom, the coming of it, is not a hidden event, not done in a corner, but its coming affected many. Verse 25. Jesus worked many miracles. He healed many. News spread. Verse 25. Great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, from Jerusalem and Judea, from beyond the Jordan. Now, this was before the internet. It was before telephones. News still spread. Think if you had a relative or a neighbor who you knew was sick, and you heard there was someone who healed the sick. Wouldn't you tell them? At least give it a chance. Come, I heard of this Jesus. What if you had seen with your own eyes someone who was paralyzed and stand up and walk? What if you had known a demon-possessed man cured? What would you do? Well, you'd be amazed and you'd tell others. Word got around. God's kingdom comes through Jesus' work and its coming affected many. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us that all those who were healed or these great crowds believed unto salvation. It says large crowds, great crowds, followed him. We know from other gospel accounts, other parts, that very few people truly believed in Jesus. Most followed him only because of the earthly benefits they received or they saw. The miracles testified to the power of the coming one, but they do not necessarily testify concerning that this one has saving faith, that is the one who's healed, or all those who are interested. But here we know there is a work of God. It is a great work. It made an impression on many. And it is the same today, in a way. Not by having gimmicks, not by catering to unbelievers, not by having greater numbers that can be boasted about, but for someone truly to enter the kingdom of heaven, God has changed them. They're a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things are new. No longer is sin pursued, but righteousness. No longer is error embraced, but truth. No longer is Jesus mocked or ignored, but confessed, even worshipped. There is change. And while these changes, they might not make the evening news like miracles would, they are great changes. Changes that demonstrate the spreading of the kingdom of heaven. Parents, grandparents, you know this. As you see by God's grace your children grow in the faith, time of public profession, and they continue, they marry a godly spouse. Perhaps the Lord blesses them with children, but they go on and they live, and you see the kingdom at work. Wow. And then we see the darkness around us. Wow. God is at work. Be encouraged. Don't be dismayed by the darkness. That's always going to be there. Be amazed that God is at work. And so the question comes to us, are we showing that change? Are we showing that kingdom to others? Are you telling them where the keys of the kingdom are being used to open and close the kingdom of heaven? Not only with our words, but with our priorities. Children, last time we talked about, remember that song, This Little Light of Mine? There's a verse that says, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. That's what we're called to do. We don't tell others about exorcisms, the casting out of demons and sudden miracle. We tell them about the new creation God has worked, that he's changed us. And we tell them where they can hear of it. We tell them of Jesus and they say, come with me, let me tell you more and you can hear more. And you can have the kingdom of heaven open to you. And you can hear about the forgiveness of sins to sit under the faithful preaching of the gospel. What goes on here during this time, congregation? What's worship service about? Yes, giving glory to God. Yes. But we can only give glory to God as he brings us into his kingdom, as he changes us to give him glory. What really is Christianity about, brothers and sisters? Is it about living the American dream? Is it about having your best earthly life now? Or is it about Christ bringing the kingdom, a good news of Jesus, salvation in him, his coming again? May we never grow cold to that message. May we never skip hearing this message so we can indulge in the darkness of the world around us. Can you imagine someone in Jesus' day saying, I know I'm suffering in severe pain. I know my relative has this oppression by a demon. But you know what? I want to go watch this sporting event. I'll go to the miracle worker another time. That's absurd. How much more absurd to skip hearing the preaching of the good news of Jesus, where sins are forgiven. Salvation is in him. The Son of God has come. So much better than participating or watching some sporting event in this shadow of death. And when your neighbor asks you why you aren't running after what he's running after, why you're resting on Sunday, why you're going to church, why you're not at a ball game instead, you've got a wonderful opportunity to testify to Jesus and the blessing that comes in him and the coming of the kingdom of heaven and how that's opened up every Sunday. So much better than watching or participating in some sporting event. God's kingdom comes through Jesus' work. Understand from his teaching, as we'll get into, what that kingdom is that he heralds, that he brings, testified by the miracles he performed. Here is reality. It's not propaganda. It's not spin. It's not fake news. This is real. Hear and believe and go tell others. And may God receive all the praise. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as you gave that dream to Nebuchadnezzar, but revealed the interpretation to your servant Daniel and his friends of that kingdom, a kingdom that you have brought through your Son, a kingdom that is filling the whole earth that will never end, a kingdom that you have brought us into. O Lord, strengthen our faith and give us courage. Change us, O Lord, that we would show forth this kingdom to others, that you would bring others into this kingdom. For there is no hope outside it, not in the kingdom of America, regardless of who is president, regardless of who the governors are, regardless of the citizens. The kingdom of heaven, that's our hope. Lord, fill that into every area of our lives. May we grow in our faith. May we grow in living as faithful kingdom citizens. And give us courage to tell others about this wonderful kingdom. As we go further into this gospel account and learn more of the teaching and see more of the power and hear it proclaimed ourselves to ourselves, Lord, bless us. May you be praised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.